The passage in your hearing this morning, did you get that thing turned on back there? There it is. Okay. We want to look at something, and I'm going to do a little play on words today because the translation was read, I think, was the New King James. Listen at just the King James translation of this, and I wanted him to do that, and I wanted to do this. But listen at the King James translation of 1 Corinthians 16 and verse 15. You know the house of Stephanas, that it is the first fruit of Achaia, that they have addicted themselves to the ministry of the saints. They have addicted themselves. Now, in other translations, it translates that a little bit different. But I wanted to use the word addiction because we don't think about addiction like that. And we need to. You know, there's bad addictions. We can be addicted to alcohol. We can be addicted to drugs. We can be addicted to tobacco. We can be addicted to a lot of things. But there are some good things that we need to be addicted to. We need to be addicted to serving God. We need to be addicted to praying to God. We need to be addicted to doing what God wants us to do for the glory of God. There's a lot of things we need that are good addictions that we need to have. I really think we need to be addicted to worshiping and serving God. Now, I've said this before, and I've had some people say, oh, don't say it. It's an addiction. Yes, it needs to be. It's something I have to do. It's not a decision, do I want to, do I not want to? That's already been decided. I've had parents come to me and say, my child doesn't want to come to church. What do I do? I said, well, what did they say? Well, they just didn't want to come. I said, well, tell them they're coming. I said, it's strange to me. My children have never said that. They said, your kids have never said that? I said, yes. From when they were little, they knew you're going to church. If you're going anywhere, you're going to church. And so it's just a habit with them. And they know when they get up in the morning, don't start this stuff. Well, I don't want to go and I don't want to. Listen, cut that stuff off real fast. Just say, listen, you're going. Now, do you want to go, young lady, with your hair stuck up? Do you want to go, young man, in your pajamas? Whatever you want to do, but you're going. Now that needs to be a habit with them. And maybe if we get them in the habit when they're young, it'll help them when they get older to continue that habit. And you say, I don't know if I agree with that. That's okay. Just do it. Just do it. And some habits are good, and we need to get those habits. That needs to be a part of us. And that's what he's saying here. You need to have the habit of being in the ministry of Christ, being a part of Christ, being a part of the church, being a part of that body of Christ that works together. Now, in other translations, it translates this word devoted. And that's really saying the same thing, but I really like the word addiction. You need to be devoted to it. That means that you've got your heart, your soul, your mind into that. In the Greek, it carries with it the idea that you're supposed to have everything in a row. And it's supposed to be number one, number two, number three, and number four. What you do is you take things and you put them in their proper order. And some of these things need to come above other things. And we need to be addicted to that. We need to be, that needs to be something that we are devoted to doing. And so here these people were those people that were devoted. This household was one that was devoted to being in the ministry of the saints, in the work of the church now. Now, why do we need to be addicted? Now, this is something I want us to understand. Why do we need to be addicted to the cause of Christ? And please, let me play with the word just a little bit, because I want us to see that. I'm using a different word so that you'll think about it a little bit more and you won't forget it. Now, if you go and tell people, the preacher talked about addiction, they're going to say, which drug did he talk about today? Did he talk about alcohol? Did he talk about this? No. What I'm talking about is being addicted to Jesus Christ, his ministry, his work. And that's where we've got to be. Now, we need to be addicted to the cause of Christ to fulfill the law of Christ. In Galatians 6, verse 1 and 2, it has the idea there of helping us to see that we need to help other people. It says, bear one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ. Now, there is a law of Christ. It is things that we must do. Now, hopefully, we follow those things because we have a heart that wants to serve God and not just because we want to keep a law. But it is a part of that. So we need to be those people that we're gonna help other people. We're going to let them be a part of our life. We're going to try to help and do for them. That's a part of the ministry of Christ. My job is to help you, and your job is to help me, and we help each other to go to heaven. That's the whole thing. That's what we're in that for. We're not here by myself. If you get to thinking I'm the only one, then go back and look at that again, because you're not the only one. In fact, you need to be thinking about other people more than you think about your own self. You need to be thinking about what you can do to help them to be more faithful, to help them so that you can know them in a greater way, that you might be a better minister to them, a servant to them. Jesus tells us we need to be people that we're thinking about others, not ourselves. In fact, isn't that what he did? He left heaven and all of that, gave all of that up, and came to this earth to be with us, to help us, to do for us. Look at all he sacrificed. Look at what he got for it. Abused, talked about, cursed on, slapped, crown of thorns, and crucified. He did that because of us. He did that because he was trying to help us to be the right kind of people. That's what we've got to do. We've got to be those people that we do good to other people. We help other people. And that's what I want us to understand today. We've got to be willing to do that to help others. In fact, if you go down to verse 10 in Galatians 6, that's what it's talking about there. Helping other people to be able to take every opportunity, every chance you've got to do good to other people. Let me tell you something. You go around in the world, help other people to know how wonderful it is to be a child of God. You act right. Don't you go around like with a sullen look on your face if you're a Christian. You be one that you meet and greet other people, because I want people to know Jesus Christ. I want people to know that he's changed my life, that he's helped me to be a better person. Now, that's not saying that we have everything, everything's right, we know everything, we don't have any problems. That's not it. That's a fairy tale. We've got problems. But let me tell you something. If you're feeling bad, don't make the rest of the world feel bad. Don't do that. I told a fellow one time, I said, you got a problem. He said, yes. I said, you keep it. I don't want it. We need to help people to understand. They need to be people of joy, and we've got to be people of joy. Now, not saying we don't have problems. We've got those, and we've got to deal with them. But we're going to be people of joy, and we're going to be people of happiness. Now, look at this. We've got to prove that we have the love of God in us. We've got to show that that love is a part of us. We've got to manifest that. Now, in John 4, verses 20 and 21, or 1 John 4, 20 and 21, well, let me just read that one. That's what I want to do. Did I get that one? 1 John 4. I'll get it in a minute. 1 John 4, 20. Where'd I go? I'll have to get that. 1 John 4, 20 and 21. Okay, I got 4, 20, 21. Yeah, here it is. If someone says, I love God, and hates his brother, he is a liar. Woo, that's strong stuff. Then he goes on to explain what he's trying to say here and help us understand a little bit better. For he who does not love his brother, whom he can see, the question is, how can he love God whom he can't see? If you look at that person and you see the problems and you see the difficulties they have to deal with, and you won't love them, how can you love a God that you can't see, that you can't tell where he's at? You can't do that. And this commandment we have from him, okay? I thought about having everybody to stand up, because we got a commandment from him. Listen to this. That he who loves God must love his brother also. Now, let me tell you something. Standing up or sitting down, that's from God. That's from God. We have got to help other people. Henry, go over there and help her, please. Excuse me. Excuse me. Got a little difficulty here, so we'll deal with that, and then we'll just go on, okay? Thank you. Appreciate those fellows doing that. We've got to understand this is what God wants us to do. He wants us to love other people and care for other people. Now, does that mean that we just got to care for people at church? You got to care for everybody. You got to care for the worst person in the world. You got to treat them right and good and kind because you're a child of God. It's not a matter that they deserve it. It's a matter that you deserve to give it to them. And you've got to be willing to do that. That's what John was trying to say here. That's what Jesus had been trying to say. And we've got to understand that. Let me tell you something. Love your brethren. I've seen some people, they like to talk about this church or that church and what this one's doing, what that one's doing. Hush. Or in other words, shut up. Don't do that. If you can't say something kind, then don't say anything at all. And if you got something to say to somebody else, go say it to them and don't tell me. I don't want to hear it. I've heard more than I want to hear. Learn to love your brethren and speak well of them. Say good things about brethren and help them to be able to do that. Love the brethren with everything you have. Be the kind of person that you're going to be willing to do that. You're going to show that you're a child of God. And that's what we do. When we act like that, we show we're a child of God. Now, if we act any other way, if we act hateful, if we talk about people, if we say bad things about people, let me tell you something. We're showing who we belong to. We really are. Don't do that. Show who you belong to, that you belong to God, and you speak well of others, and you help others. Now, look at this. We need to be those people that we fulfill our part in the body of Christ. Now, Paul, in 1 Corinthians 12, starting verse 24 there, he talks about the church as a body of people that are working together. And I do need to read that one. 1 Corinthians 12, starting in verse 24. Listen to what he says here. But our... I just lost that one. I have to blink a couple of times and I'll find it. But our... Well, I can't even get that word. Presentable parts. The parts that we have that we kind of like, those things that we have there, have no need, but God composed the body, having given great honor to that part which is lacking it. Verse 25, that there should be no division in the body of Christ, that it should not be there. That should not be a part of it. Because he's talked about the body before and how that the body's working together. It's got different parts. Some of these parts are very predominant, very important. You know, eyesight. Boy, that's one of the great ones. Well, had you rather lose your arm or your eyes? Well, I'd hate to lose my arm, but I'd sacrifice that because my eyes are important. Well, should the arm feel bad about that? No. He's saying here, I want you to understand this thing so that there'll be no division there. One of the things that keeps the world from really obeying the gospel and being a part of Christ is the church. Because of the way we act toward each other. Now, sometimes we say things and do things that are just out and out wrong. And the world sees that. And they said, you're going to talk like that about the people that you're a part of? Don't ever say anything bad about the church. Help the church to be better than it is. Help Christian people to be better than they are. We've got to be willing to do that. And if we don't do that, we've lost the whole thing. How are you going to win a world to a church that you don't even like your own self and you're willing to talk about? Speak well of the church. Now, it doesn't bother me to say we've got problems. Everybody's got problems. Everything has problems. But let me tell you something. We can overcome the problems. We can win this battle. We can win over people and help other people to be a part of it. And that's what we want to try to do, is to draw those people together. Every part of the body is important. Every member of the church is important. I hope you realize that. I've had some people say, well, you know, if I wasn't there on Sunday, nobody would miss me. Let me tell you something. If you're not here on Sunday, you're missed. Amen. Okay. I know the amens didn't act like you were missed, but you are. See, as a preacher, I can stand up here. Everybody sits at the same spot. Basically, you sit in the same place every week. And if there's a hole there, I see you're not there. And there's people that sit around you. And they see that you're not there. What we need to do is when we see somebody is not here, is call them and let them know that we missed them. We need to let them know, hey, listen, you weren't here, and I'm not. It's none of my business where you were. Everybody wants to say, well, I was, and I said, no, don't tell me where you were. That's not my business. My business is I've missed you. Where you were, that's your business. And I don't need to know. You don't have to justify anything to me. But what you've got to do is to let people know that you care for them. We've got to do that in the church. Sometimes there's people that they might be out 3 or 4 weeks before anybody really recognizes that they're not here. Brethren, that's a weakness, not a strength. Tanner's a very warm congregation. But let me tell you something. Don't think we've arrived. Because we hadn't. We need to be better at that and better at helping other people to understand that. We need to be addicted to that so that we're willing to do that. Now, look at this. How do we become addicted? How do you become addicted to the ministry of Christ? Well, the first thing that we got to do is we got to be those people that we are realize that we are accountable. We're required to do that. It's something that we're going to have to do. We're going to have to do this. It's just something that is a part of us. Will Rogers said, I've never met a man that I didn't like. Another fellow said, I've never liked a man I've never met. I guess that both of those are true. Both of those are true. We need to get acquainted with other people. You say, well, I know everybody in this place. I went to school with them. I did all that. Okay, I understand that. But still, you need to continue that acquaintance. You need to continue the acquaintance of people that are coming in, that are visitors. Go shake their hands. Don't just go shake hands of people that you've known for 50 years. But go shake those other people's hands. Let them know that you appreciate them. I appreciate you being here. And we're good at that. We're good at that. But now, we don't want to sit on our laurels. We need to get better. We need to get better at the meeting and greeting of people, seeing other people, letting them know we appreciate that. And we are good about that. There's no way. You know, I thought about when I was working on this lesson, am I really going to tell those people at Tanner that they need to meet and greet other people? I thought, well, yeah, might as well. We need to learn to do it better. We need to learn to improve on things. If you're satisfied with where you are, you're dead. Don't be satisfied. Don't be satisfied with where you are, but look at where you can be. Because we've got to have that. That's got to be a part of us. We need to be those people that we are hospitable. Now, this idea of hospitality is something more. That's one of the requirements of being an elder. You've got to be hospitable. But it's a requirement of every Christian that we're hospitable. That means that we are those people that we open up our heart and our life to other people. When's the last time you invited somebody over to your house for lunch on Sunday? You say, we don't cook. Well, take them out. I mean, take them out to lunch. Don't just take them out, okay? I don't want anybody to get the idea that preacher said take people out. Take them out to lunch. Let them know that. Feed them leftovers. If they've never had them, they'll enjoy it anyhow. Let them know that you care for them. Open up your home. That's what you've got to do. It's required of an elder to open up his home to people, to the people that are a part of the church there. It's a requirement of me that I do that. It's a requirement of you that you do that, that we open up our home to other people so that they can get to know us and we can get to know them. And us getting to know each other helps the church to be a friendly congregation and a wonderful congregation. We've got to be willing to do that. Romans 12 and verse 13 says that we need to be hospitable to each other, that we need to be willing to do that. We need to be willing to show that love to strangers, to other people that are coming in. We need to manifest that to them. We need to do that to people that are here. You may have known a fella for 30 or 40 years or 50 or 60 years. That's okay. Go up and shake his hand. Hug him if you want to. And give him a kiss, too. Robert Nims is going over here and he said, no, we ain't doing that. I'm going to get him to kiss me one of these days. Or I'm going to kiss him. Now, I may have to run after I do it, but I'm going to do it. We need to have fun and enjoy things. We don't do that. We come to church and it's like it's a funeral. Let me tell you something. If you're coming to a church and it's a funeral, somebody's dead and it may be you. Have some life about you. Meet and greet other people. Shake people's hands. Let them know how they're doing. And you may ask somebody, how are you doing? And you got to listen for 5 minutes to all their ills. I don't want to know every problem you got in life. There's other times for that. But we need to open ourselves up to people. We need to have that hospitality about us. But now, listen to this. I want you to see some these practical suggestions to becoming that person that is addicted to the ministry of Christ, that is addicted to the work of Christ. First of all, to be addicted, it's got to be a habit. Now, you take a person that's on drugs, they've got to have it. They can go maybe for 4 or 5 hours, maybe 6 hours, maybe 12 hours, but they've got to have that. That's the way we've got to be in the ministry of Christ. This has got to be an addiction with me that I've got to do it. If I don't get to do it, I'm going to hurt all over. It's going to be a pain. It's going to be trouble. It's going to be difficulties for me. I've got to do that. Even in our worship, in our work, in what we're trying to do to help other people, that's got to be a part of that. We've got to be addicted to that. It's got to be a habit with us that we're going to be willing to do that, and we're going to be willing to learn and find out about other people, because it's just the way we're going to do it. We're going to know those people, and we're going to know the problems they have. Now, secondly, we've got to learn to be the kind of people that we're going to have this idea of caring for others in such a way that we're going to know who they are. We're going to know what their name is. Now, if you're like me, I'm getting older, and it's getting hard to remember names anymore. So I try to write them down in some way to keep up with. Everybody loves to hear their name. I had a secretary once. She could remember everybody's name. I thought about just hiring her to walk around with me and say, okay, who is that? And she'll tell me who it was. But we need to learn that. We need to learn the names of other people. We need to learn to speak that name and help them to understand that. We need to help them to know that we are going to meet and greet them and we care about them. That's what we're going to have to do to be able to win the world. I know we've got to teach the gospel. That's a part of it. But let me tell you something. You can't teach people if you don't know them. You can't do that. We need to learn people. We need to learn people. And we need to like the Bible said in 3 John 14, it said, I want to speak to you face to face. I want to talk to you. I want you to know that I care for you. I want you to know that you're a part of my life. Then what we got to do, we make it that habit. We make it a part of our lives. We're going to be willing to greet others and not just to grumble. Some people like to fuss. Some people just like to grumble about what's going wrong in their life. Let me tell you something. Tell people good things about your life. Help people to see that. Be that person that you show that. We need to practice that hospitality, not just talk about it, but we need to do it and do it in a great way. Listen to what Peter said in 1 Peter 4 and verse 9. Be hospitable to one another without grumbling. Oh man, you heard about the little boy that the preacher came over and sat down to eat, and his mother said, son, why don't you say the blessing? She's going to show off a little bit as to what she had done in training her children. He said, I don't know what to say. And she said, well, just say something that you've heard me say. He said, okay. Everybody bowed their head. And he said, why in the world have I invited this preacher over today? Now, I know you've probably heard that one before, but it's still good. We need to do it without grumbling about it. We need to be happy about it. We need to have that association with each other and care for each other in a great way. We've got to be willing to do that. And if we don't, there's going to be something that's just missing there. But not only that, we've got to be those people that have the ability to be able to serve others. You see, you got to know people and know what their needs are to be able to serve them. You've got to be willing to go over and do something that they might need for you at your house, that these people might need that they can't do that you can. Maybe it's cut their grass. Maybe it's just, you know, whatever. I think the ladies are better at this than us men are. If somebody's sick, they'll carry them something to eat. They'll do that for them because they want to show that hospitality. They want to show that love, and they want to manifest that, and they're going to do that. The more we know about people, the more we're going to care for people, the more we're going to do for other people. We've got to be willing to do that. Now, look at this. We need to be people that we are addicted to the ministry of Christ. That this idea of us serving God and us helping each other and us doing God's will is just something we're going to do. It's just a part of us. Now, there's a lot of other things that we have to do in our life. But this is one of the things that's so, so important. They were devoted. They were addicted to the ministry of Christ in 1 Corinthians 16, verse 15. This household was. And they were using an example for everybody, that everybody was supposed to do that. They were all working together to be able to do that. How good are you at that? How good at you are you at helping other people to feel like they're a part here? How good are you at meeting and greeting and showing hospitality to other people? How good are you at the ministry of the saints? Is it a habit with you? Are you addicted to it? I hope you're addicted to it and you've got to have a part of it. Don't just come in here and sit down, but meet and greet other people. Let other people know you care for them. You say, Charles, you're talking about Tanner. We do that already. Let me tell you something. We do it, but we need to do it better. We don't quit. And the better we get at it, the greater people are going to see the Word of God within us. You see, that shows to others the kind of person we are. That helps them to see the kind of person that we're going to be. And we're not just doing it for them. We're doing it because we care for other people, and we're going to continue to do that. Let's do that. Let's do it in a greater way. If you're here today and this church can help you in any way, we want to do that. If we can pray with you and for you, if we can help you with a problem that you've got, we'll try not to create a bigger problem. We'll try to help you to solve that and to do what we can to help you to be the right Christian. We've got to do that.